Hey there, and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a weekly podcast where we talk about what we discussed on Sunday morning, being able to dive into maybe some more details we couldn't get into, and just some reminders of the application of God's Word to our everyday lives. I'm Pastor Ben, here with Pastor Matt.
Hello, everyone.
And we are here on a special Sunday, getting ready for our birthday Sunday, having a special night of prayer, and we may hear some teenagers in the background, but we know that joyous noise that they make is also in praise to our God.
Yeah, and usually it's that and Uno getting out of hand. So if we jump in with a reverse card, you just rewind 15 seconds. That's how you play it.
And we know that is the godliest of the card games because there's only one God.
There's only one God.
This morning we were continuing our way through the book of Malachi, looking at just the response again of the exiles who had returned and their continued question of God. In this case, talking about why is God not accepting and our sacrifices? Why is he acting like he's not near us? And yet God says, you just don't get it.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I was telling a friend recently, he asked me, he's like, hey, what are you preaching through right now? And I said, I'm preaching through Malachi. And he's been pastoring a little longer than I have. He's never preached through. He's like, oh. And so I was telling him about it and just how over time throughout the book, it's like God is just his righteous anger just is quicker. He's okay. This is what you keep asking these questions. I can only give you the same answer so many times. And yeah, they don't understand. And I don't want to spoil the rest of the book, but I don't know if they will.
Based on the fact that there are still Jewish non-believers today.
Correct.
They missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Walk us through what was going on here in Malachi 2.
So this is a passage of scripture that's quite fascinating because on the surface, it appears that it's a marriage issue that God has with them. Now, he's addressing this because it's the overflow of their abandonment of the covenant that they made with God. So the people, God's people, had married into other Jewish families as they were supposed to. They were intended to marry into covenant people. This is for the intention that God's people and the laws will be carried on from generation to generation. Now, as the people, I guess as they just got older, they divorced their wives and then went and married the daughters of foreign gods, meaning they went and married into non-Jewish cultures, which is specifically prohibited in the law. Like, God is very clear about this. And so God is angry at them for abandoning the covenant, and not ultimately because of their marriage with outsiders, but it's a clear indication that they had abandoned God. They were unfaithful to God. And so you see that word faithless or treacherous 5 times in the passage. And God is telling them, you are acting in a way that is contrary to how you are supposed to act in this covenant. Now they get upset and there's some weeping and crying at the altar, and God, why aren't you accepting our sacrifices? And God tells them, like, I know what you've done. You haven't changed your ways. You're continuing on this path. So there's no repentance either. And it's this, we see at this, when we dig deep into it, God is faithful to his people, even though his people are not always faithful to him. And ultimately this is seen in Jesus, who, as I mentioned in the sermon, that he did not abandon his bride. He pursued her and did everything he could to make the church his own, including specifically dying for her. And it's a reminder that our God is faithful despite our faithlessness and at our times turning away from him and towards things that will lead us away from him.
It reminds me of Hosea and Gomer.
Yeah.
Just that.
Yeah.
That very clear life choice that Hosea was asked by God to do. And
yeah,
and just
go marry a prostitute. She is going to be unfaithful to you, but I want you to tell the people this is how they're acting towards me. and you're going to pursue her. And ultimately, we see the mystery of marriage, so to speak. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, all of it points to Jesus in the church. All of it points to the relationship with God. How a husband treats his wife, how a wife responds to the love of the husband, a representation of the gospel. And so I still think that's still in play in Malachi 2. This image for us is our marriages should reflect how God has treated his people and how we are to respond to him.
And it's, I just was reminded, we're finishing up this study through the minor prophets that we started in life groups, and now we're finishing up with a sermon series. But Hosea is the first of the minor prophets.
Yeah.
When there's this bookend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw the light bulb go off in front of you.
Yeah.
And so that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about that either.
No. So it's that Jewish poetry thing, I think.
Yeah.
That it's
the author of the Bible was brilliant. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So we talked, we gave some definitions of faithfulness and faithlessness.
Yeah.
Right. Again, knowing that the way that faithlessness is the word used inside this passage. So what's, how do we find ourselves acting faithlessly?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a word.
But. It is now. Yeah. So we define the two. Faithless is as living out of a lack of faith in God. So if we have a full faith in God, we are going to respond to that. So the people of the Jewish people did not have a faith that God would be faithful. So they turned their backs on. So they lacked faith. So for us to act faithlessly, I guess that's probably a word too. It would be that, okay, how do I lack faith in my life towards God? So that could be for provision. And I'm not saying if you have great faith, God's going to provide these things. But I think oftentimes we think God doesn't provide for me as we sit in our 4-bedroom, 2-bath houses with cars and food, and we redefine what provision is to fit our terms and not his. But he has provided ultimately his son Jesus. Or maybe we lack faith that God truly has forgiven us. So whether you're wrestling with, are you genuinely converted, which is it, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so I think it's good that you're wrestling with this, whether it's a lack of faith in what comes tomorrow. I know there's people just at times crippled with anxiety about what tomorrow brings. And that when Jesus says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. This is the faithless says, I'm going to be anxious. The faithfulness says, I don't have to worry because I'm trusting the Lord. So it's played out in so many different ways. It could be played out in our giving, like tithing to the church, that I'm not going to get, I'm going to live in disobedience and not give because I do not have faith that God actually knows what he's talking about when he says he owns all things. But yeah, we can keep going. And so it doesn't, by application, it may not look like what Malachi 2 looks like, where you're abandoning your wife and going somewhere else. It could look like that though. But ultimately, it's idolatry. Where are you turning your heart? What is your heart treasure above God? There's things our heart treasures, like I treasure Julie and the kids. But rightfully, they can never take the place of God in my life. Because if they do, then I've made them an idol where my whole being in life is dependent on them. So really, it can be in anything and anywhere. And why it's so important to guard our hearts, as the text says. Guard your hearts, God says to his people, that you do not give in to.
On the response of the people, I think that's where we can do our own self-assessment. If we're, where is our altar that we're crying on and saying, God, where are you? Why is this happening? It's likely going to be in those places where we've elevated that thing, that person, that relationship, that job, whatever it is, above God.
And a couple commentaries mentioned how, were they upset that God was getting onto them, or were they upset God was taking away the thing they loved? And I thought that was a fascinating approach, because it could be both, but it was not a genuine repentance. I think it's clear in that when God's, I'm not responding to what you're saying here. So yeah, it's a
hard issue all the way through.
I was trying to just finish that thought.
Yeah. Either or both, that the heart is not turned towards God.
Correct.
It's turned toward something else.
Yeah. And I think there's times where God says, you know what? this thing is impeding, and it's not always the case, all right? We live in a fallen world, and things happen all the time. But I think there's a time where God in his sovereignty can remove something from our lives by his grace because it's impeding our relationship with him. I gave the example of baseball during COVID. When I realized how angry I was about that, I'm like, come on, this is, the Lord just, so baseball didn't play out until July of 2020, and it was my fault. This is what I've jokingly said before. But mainly it was the Lord saying, listen, you don't need that to find rest. You don't need that to have comfort. All that's in me. And it was literally the best thing for me because it not only caused me to turn to the Lord and repent and confess that, all right, God, baseball can be taken away and I'll be fine. But also just it's made something I love that God has created more enjoyable because it's, I think, now rooted in the goodness and grace of God. And so when I go out and throw a baseball with Colton, we did it yesterday. It's a, man, what a gift to just go out and enjoy the creation and throw a round ball and enjoy this time together. And if it got taken away, man, God's still good. He's still good.
We also talked about some of the ways that Jesus is faithful to us. Again, I think in very kind of practical ways, things that we don't always consider.
Yeah. What Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always faithful. And we wrapped it up at the end of today's sermon in four ways. This book has been so good. We've talked about this, and we've talked about it on here, where it's hard to the sermon today was longer than I typically preach. And there's just so much in it. I wish I could spend more time on these just different areas. But anyways, the last four application points were Jesus is faithful to forgive us. And the fact, or he's faithful to save us. That was the first one. Faithful is he who calls you. He will surely do it. He's faithful to save. Like our salvation happens because our God is faithful. If he wasn't faithful, we would have no salvation. So think of the aftermath of God's faithfulness towards us. And he's faithful to forgive when we lash out in anger towards someone, when we're prideful, lust, greed, keep going down the list, right? He's faithful to forgive. 1 John 1:9 says, he's faithful to guard us. We see this in Malachi 2, where God says, you need to, hey, guard your hearts from this. But then we see in the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians, I think 3:3, where he says, he is faithful to guard us. Mm-hmm. That we're actually not fully responsible for guarding our own hearts. Like we play a role in it, but God is the one who is protecting us, which is powerful. And then that fourth one is he's faithful to produce faithfulness in us. One of God's frustrations in Malachi 2 was this is the one thing God wants, godly offspring. And they weren't doing this. They were not producing godly fruit. And by application for us, if we are faithful to the Lord, there's evidence of God's work in us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And this is what Jesus is doing day in and day out. Does it happen overnight? No. It's a good continuous work over time. I imagine both of us, if we look back on the last 10 years, can both say with different paths and different ways of getting there that we probably have a deeper belief in God's faithfulness than we did a decade ago. And that's, I think, the beauty of sanctification, that God's leading us all. He leads us down paths of righteousness for his sake. So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, means he's always going to be doing this work in us and through us for his glory alone.
I don't have as deep an appreciation as you have, and you don't have as deep an appreciation as someone who really is into it, but all the fruit, the gardening, those analogies of just thinking through, again,
you say that as if I have 5 blueberry bushes.
That's 5 more blueberry bushes than I have. I tried to grow a pumpkin once and a bird ate it, and that's just the last I ever did of any kind of growing. But we know that you don't just plant the seed and then you come out the next day and there's a full bushel of whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
But we also know, too, there's seasons, and sometimes things happen and the crop is not as good, or the fruit's not as big, and then other times it's
Yeah.
Plentiful. So then that's such a picture of, I think, our experience is, you know, whatever season you're in, God is still working. God's still producing fruit. Even just thinking through, he initiates faith in us. It's a gift. He empowers and grows that faith. And then we know that he will complete it. It's not just us toiling and trying our best.
It is. It's God actively at work, making us more like himself, which is he's faithful. So these characteristics that we're looking at in Malachi, it's not that God is so different than us, right? We're made in his image. And so he wants to do this work where we reflect him. And he's patient and kind. And that's why, you know, even mentioned of repentance is a beautiful thing. That we think God's going to be so angry with me when I tell him I'm sorry. I don't believe that's God's response. I believe God is gracious to forgive.
No, we can see it in Malachi. It's the opposite. Because when you don't repent, God's like, why aren't you repenting?
Because if they do, he's going to forgive as he does. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just for us and what happened with the people in Malachi is they lost sight of who he was. And that's often our issues as well, as we lose sight of, in this case, how great is God's faithfulness towards us.
So as we look forward to just the next attribute of God in Malachi, how do we put together God's faithful, his faithfulness, his greatness, but then also last time we talked about his holiness. And sometimes it feels like, how can God be all of those things?
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? To think, okay, how does this work? I think to some extent we think, all right, I'm taking this puzzle of faithfulness, adding it, and then once we add all these characteristics together, we get a big picture of who God is. But I think they're so intertwined. These characteristics of God work together. They're not, I don't think they stand alone. For God to be holy, I think means he has to be faithful. For God to be faithful, I think that means he has to be just, which we'll look at in 2 weeks. For God to be just, I think that connects to his generosity and his mercy. And so it's easy. We're looking at it from a singular attribute. But as we see, if you take away the love of God, then there's no salvation at the end of this book. If you take away his grace and mercy, then there's no faithfulness. There's no holiness. And I don't think it starts to make God fit a box that we can't fit him in. But he's demonstrated these characteristics to us over and over again, ultimately in Jesus. So when we see Jesus, we are seeing these attributes played out in perfection through Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. And so the connection for us is, while God is perfectly all of these things, and they work hand in hand together, his holiness does not contradict his justice or his wrath, and his grace doesn't either. But it also helps us see, hey, that's the goal of what our lives should look like. It looks like God. So I think we could take any of these and say, is God love? Yes. Is God faithful? Yes. Is God holy? Yes. And I think at the end of each of those, we can say, why? Because he's God. God is faithful because he's God. God is holy because he's God. And so hopefully over time, we're getting this clear picture of what God reveals about himself in Scripture to see, okay, first of all, wow, this is God. And second of all, who are we that he is mindful of us? As the psalmist says, that he would even take the time to interact with mankind. Like, he could have been so done. And yet, because he's all of this, he desires to have this relationship with us. And then I think that's why he's a jealous God, and jealous in the way that is not like we're jealous of our neighbor's car. He's jealous because he knows how good he is. And for us to turn away from that, just breaks the heart of God.
Any other last thoughts as we wrap up?
Yeah, I ended the sermon today with just this illustration of the sun. Like, we're it's a sure thing. When we wake up, even if it's cloudy, when you can't see the sun, it's still daylight. And even at night, when the stars are out and the moon's out and it's dark, doesn't mean the sun is not in existence. And I hope that we see that visual. And every for one, new morning mercies. The sun's there just like the more mercies are. But secondly, God is more faithful than the sun. Eventually, there's going to be no need for a sun because his glory is going to be shining as the sun. And so my encouragement would be, when you're wrestling with, is God faithful? Is he good? Is he all these things? To look up and just look at the sun that he spoke into existence. Don't look too long. It'll hurt your eyes. But I think that's the beauty of the reminder of, man, when we stare into the glory of the Lord, just it causes us to see the power and greatness of the one who made us. And I've been encouraged by just different responses, different conversations in our life groups, that you can be living in the clouds right now, or it could just be a dark season. God is faithful. And if I come alongside of you and with pastoral care and comfort in the midst of your hurt and grief, and just offer this reminder that God is faithful, I don't mean that in a flippant response because I don't know what else to say. I genuinely mean it, that even in the midst of the worst, God never leaves our side. And it's easy to say, all right, God, where'd you go? And we don't ever question that at night where the sun goes. We know the sun is nearby. So that's my encouragement for the church, for us, from my own heart, that we don't know as we look forward to the next decade. We'll talk a lot about it this coming Sunday, that we don't know where the Lord's taking us, but we know the Lord will be there. And we want to faithfully live our lives to the one who's always been faithful to us.
And we'll look forward to just talking even more about God's faithfulness here in life groups in this coming week as we look at this passage again in our groups. Again, it's easy to step into any of those groups. There's no real barrier.
Yeah, jump in.
Yep, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And yeah, just thinking back, next Sunday is going to be real special.
Yeah.
And regardless of where you have jumped on the timeline.
Right.
I think the evidence of God's faithfulness to our church is very clear.
And here's the wonderful thing about it. This is the part that I tried to relay at the beginning of the sermon today. God's faithfulness to us is never what we think it should be, but it's always good. There's never been a time where God's faithfulness was like, man, God, you could have done better. No. And I think just being able to reflect on a lot of things, and you and I talk about it all the time, of just like, man, what God was clearly at work here and we didn't know it. And we believe that now even. And it's just this reminder, you know what? If the Lord did this tomorrow, all right, let's go. He's faithful. Why would we not want to follow him in faithfulness?
All right. We'll look forward to another question of God's faithfulness in a couple of weeks, but next week we'll be looking at Titus 2, 11 through 15, just a reminder of the way that God established his church here.
Yeah.
And just the timeless message that is the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Stepping out of Malachi for next week, we're looking at Titus 2, 11 through 15. I can't wait. It's going to be just celebrating God's goodness. So we may even have some gifts at church on Sunday.
As long as we don't have a giant cardboard box that I have to pop out of, I'll be.
It's no, you're in the pinata this year.
Oh, yeah. That's deserved.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everybody takes a black hat.
Unfortunately, I'm not full of Skittles. All right. As always, let us know if you need anything and just continue to remind yourselves, remind those around you, sharing that gospel hope and just knowing that there is grace from God for every life.